Bahamas right now, humidity sky high 85%, 78.
I'm Gregory Berg, and before we do anything else, we do want to explain that for those of you that are listening very carefully, you're going to hear the roar of fans in the background. That is because the building in which WGTD is housed is lovely modern buildings where none of the windows open, and the temperature in our studios, I kid you not, is right now at right around 87 degrees, and we have fans blowing in every room, not even so much for our own comfort, although for our comfort, but even more importantly, to try to safeguard the equipment here in the radio station. So anyway, that's why things may sound just a tiny bit different today. That is the reason why. But we are carrying on, and I appreciate my two morning show guests today braving the heat to join us for a conversation about one of the happiest summertime events here in southeastern Wisconsin, the Starving Artist Fair, which is coming up in Racine this Sunday. Long history here at WGTD. She was on the staff here as one of our news directors when I began here back in 1986. And Jane has done other things on behalf of the station over the years. So she has a long connection to WGTD. And I introduce Sue as the current president of the Racine Art Guild. Jane, what would be the best way to introduce you in terms of your connection with this event?
Fair coordinator.
Ah, and there is a lot to coordinate. In fact, just give our listeners at least a rough idea of just all that is involved. I mean, again, in the sketchy sort of way, in putting this event together.
Yeah, I don't think you want a step-by-step type of thing there. No, but you know, what's really wonderful about this fair, it is the largest juried art fair in the region right now with 130 artists. And juried means that we have a jury, and electronically we get images from each of our artists, and those images are then shared with the jury. The jury does a yay or nay, again, not saying that, ooh, this is ugly. It's whether it fits the definition of fine art and craft. So it does put this event into a certain category, but it also means a lot of work for bringing in the artists. You're looking for them, you get their application.
Interesting distinction, and it's really important to know that what you're going to see at this event is artwork.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Sue Smith.
Under 15 years. Before Jane, I actually was the fair coordinator for 2 years in 18 and 19 before COVID, and then we didn't have a fair. And I've been the president now for 2 years.
Very good. And you are a practicing artist yourself?
Yes, I do some acrylic painting and some watercolor painting.
Very good. And Jane, I know at least your primary artistic exploration is as a stained glass artist, right?
Well, actually, fused glass.
Fused,
yes.
Glass, yes. Right, very good.
And some blown glass.
I wonder if either of you can talk for a moment about the fact that this is located at DeKoven Center, and listeners who have any kind of lengthy history with the event will remember that for quite a long time, it was actually on the...
there was just a shift that there was a number of things that happened at the same where we were before. And so Jane and Jill
walks on the crisscross and so on, and it kind of laid itself out actually very nicely. And DeKoven, in a sense, you had kind of wide open spaces, and you had to figure out kind of what sort of a matrix to create, right?
And in a good way, I guess, it is... I had participated in the Starving Artist Fair for any number of years on the Gateway campus. I did not organize it, so I had to be fresh anyway. Mm-hmm. Everything would have started from scratch for me. So it I guess worked out.
Well, it is a beautiful setting, and course, as just about anybody knows, it's also as much on the lake as the Gateway campus. So all of that cooler by the lake stuff, which is not a myth, means that even when it's a relative 130 artists is going to be on display. Who wants to talk about where these artists come from and kind of the balance between homegrown artists from close by versus artists that have perhaps come quite a distance to be part of this event?
Well, you know, excellent sales, and that's on a rainy day. So, yay, we're seeing in Kenosha for coming out there.
Wow, that is great. That is great. So, how complicated a matter...
And you're sitting, okay, I've got these four new artists, and they're all painters. What do I do? How different are they from what...
Parents get to come, and the kids get... All the art projects are for free, and so kids can come, and she's got three projects this year.
The
painting, there's a string project, and, you know, to do a painting, and then there's parents want to kind of take a break from the fair, sit down, have something to eat, send the kids over to do some artwork.
The way of my artists sometimes, but they're gorgeous for shade, and that area is very nicely shaded, too.
Excellent. I know you have live music that livens up the event. Who's going to be performing this year?
Yeah, well, we always have some interesting things. And so on the east side, there's going to be a flute group.
Flutissimo.
And that's kind of interesting because if you're unfamiliar with instruments, it's kind of interesting to see the variety of flutes that they have because they've got, you know, things that I didn't even imagine were... possible. There's a string quartet, the Bandez string quartet comes. That's always nice to listen to in the morning. And then the afternoon we've got Nolan Borner. He's coming. He's doing, he has a cello. He's been coming 4 or 5 years, I think.
And he's so popular.
Yeah, songwriter. And in the afternoon, we have Jennifer Watt, who is also a guitar player and singer. So that should be fun because those are new acts for us. So it's something a little bit different.
Very good. You have a raffle that I know is part of the event. And this is probably as good a time as any to mention that the proceeds from this event,
I think this is the third year. It was started by the family of Marge Laycock, who passed away several years ago, family and friends. And so this award will be given to an artist as chosen by Marge's family. But someone else has now donated to the silent auction two of Marge's works. So that's going to be a special part of the auction this year.
That's fantastic. I know that there is a boutique. I don't remember if it was last year that I visited it or not, but the Racine Art Guild itself has a boutique with items on sale, which I think is also a wonderful idea.
Yeah, so pieces or something like that. It's a great opportunity to drop that off, put it up for sale in the boutique, and, you know, go spend the rest of the day doing something else while someone sells your artwork. So it's a good opportunity. It's kind of a free perk that we offer to our members, and it's a wonderful chance for them.
And a wonderful chance for people in the community to see work that they ordinarily, and buy work they ordinarily wouldn't be able to because that individual isn't out at fairs on a regular basis.
Right. Yep. So, yes, it's a nice opportunity to see their work and be able to purchase it.
Yep.
And
Dragon Pit Barbecue is going to be there.
First time.
First time. So that's going to be exciting. And then on the east side, we've got our fire loaded hot dogs, chili dogs, and then beef sandwiches, that kind of thing. And
All About Tacos.
Oh, Tacos. All About Tacos, who give a portion of their proceeds to breast cancer.
And then we also have pastry for you if you just want to pick up some cookies or whatever. And we have the Nut Man, who has a lot of packaged snacks. So it's a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah.
Fantastic. In terms of the event, is there anything that we're forgetting to talk about?
Yes, shuttle bus.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's a biggie.
Yeah. So when we first moved to Coven, one of the things that we noticed was different than over at Gateway is the lack of parking. And so we kind of struggled with that for a while until it finally dawned on us, well, there's still good parking down at Gateway. And so we asked them if we could use their parking lot. And they last year I had heard that parking stretched all the way to Durand Avenue.
Wow.
So, you know, you can be parking a long ways away and walking. So if you don't want to walk that far.
Compared to sometimes what you see at art fairs. So.
Right. So, you know, over the years, we've obviously had to adjust that for inflation. But
remember, you know, my house is not professionally interior designed, believe me. But I can remember back when I was in my 20s buying my first pot. And
you know, that's always surprising too, to turn the corner and go, oh, that's something I'd never seen. So it's kind of fun.
Absolutely.
This year we have some, we started it a couple of years ago with Preservation Racine also being part of the fair, and they share information about buildings that have existed, and you know, architecture is art. So they talk a little bit about their organization. This year we have two different, I guess I would call it art groups, things that you can get a little bit more involved in. One of the groups present is promoting an event called Sketch Racine, and it's part of the Urban Sketchers Group, national organization, local chapter, and they're putting on a three-day event called Sketch Racine in September. Mm-hmm. So they'll be talking more about that. I betcha somebody.
Studio over at the Racine Business Center. And so he also has a tent where he can take his life drawing on the road. And so he's going to have a big tent on the west side. He's going to have models where you can come and draw. So you're not just going to be looking at art. You can be making art. And so he's got easels, he's got tables, he's got, you know, pencils and pads and you know, charcoal, whatever you want to draw, and they are timed drawings. So he will set up a model and you have an opportunity to grab a piece of paper and a pencil or a charcoal or something.
Mind, and I appreciate what a lovely addition to this event that is going to be. Yep. And Jane, I'm so glad you mentioned the matter of architecture. And that really goes back to the point of this being now located at the Coven Center, because...
And walk around.
Oh, give our listeners some idea of especially what unfolds on Sunday morning. I'm guessing early Sunday.
Well, actually, it starts on... The fun starts on Saturday.
Ah. 6 p.m. or so. So it's you can't do all that the morning of. So we tried to move as much stuff to Saturday as we can. But, you know, when you talk about how much effort this fair takes, you know, we really, it's a year-long thing. Our advertising starts in October. So, you know, we really have, you know, September off, and then in October we start again. Mm. You know, and so it's a year-round effort. It's kind of, you know, this time of year it's all consuming, but there's always kind of something underfoot for the art fair that we're working on. But on that day, yeah, we're going to get up early. We're going to have it all.
I know.
And plunking down money and buying it.
Yeah. Now, you know, Sue is also our volunteer coordinator, and that is a huge job of trying to get enough people at the right time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's you know, if you want to come out at 5:30 and help us, that'd be great. So, for sure. Cover over somebody's head, like I said, signage that goes up and comes down. We, you know, got barricades to shut off the street so that some of the traffic isn't coming through there crazy when we're trying to do other things.
And just so people know, that's a temporary close of streets during setup. Then we open it back up.
During setup, yeah, because there's just so much going on. Then, you know, if
it's
there's
dangerous.
Traffic going by, somebody's going to get hurt,
sure,
you know. So we set that up. And then, you know, at 9 o'clock, it, like magic, it's like somebody just plunked down a fare and it all starts, you know. And it all goes, hopefully, pretty smoothly by then. And then at 3:30, the craziness happiness happens again because you got to pick it all up and put it away again.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when do the artists
supposed to come starting at 6 a.m. and be done about 8:30 so that there's that half hour of
but
clearing
there's always
things out.
Always somebody there by the time we get there that is already set up before we got there at 5.
Wow.
And you're like, okay, why did you do this?
Yeah. Well, that could be a problem.
So early that they, like I said, they're set up before we even get there, and then they leave to go to breakfast.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
come back, you know. Mm. So, you know, it's just kind of how people decide that they want to do it, but it the magic happens one way or the other.
Absolutely, absolutely. So again, we're talking about the Starving Artist Fair will be on display, and for those of you that have not yet experienced this art fair on the grounds of DeKalvin, it's an absolutely sublime setting. For the art fair, and of course there's a lot of other things to enjoy, including the kids' corner and live music and lots of food and so on, and it's also of course the kind of event where you tend to see everybody.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, just kind of connecting with everybody. This is all under the auspices of the Racine Art Guild, of which Sue Smith is the president.
Mm-hmm.
Sue, I wonder...
A speaker that will come in and talk about their artwork. We have some hand-on events, you know, where you can...
Or it looked interesting. And you also, once a year, do a critique.
We do a critique in the spring. We have two shows, generally. We have a show in the...
of Kenosha is that, although we don't sometimes stop to think about it, there are so many artists who live here.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
It's a really... rich. I don't mean that these artists are all rich. I don't mean that. Maybe some of them are, but I mean rich, yes, in the sense of just high level.
Got Terry, who does the Mahogany Gallery. He's the in charge of the Black Arts Council in Racine. We work with him sometimes to do projects, and so you see lots of people, these groups working together to, you know, to promote the art culture in Racine and Kenosha, and there's a lot of it, you know, and to your point, if you're not really thinking about it, maybe it doesn't really sink in, but there's a lot going on in these two cities as far as art, and it's really an artist community, and this broad of an artist community, and so, you know, people should get out and enjoy it and take advantage of it, because it's really special.
Mm. When did you start being interested?
System, and that was kind of when I discovered this great artist community, and I wanted to be part of that, you know. And so it's a very supportive community. They're very wonderful. They're very helpful. Moved on from there. So I started out with portraits. When I went to watercolors, though, that lent itself to me more inkling at all that you want to draw or try something like that. This is a great opportunity. He's got all the supplies there for you. You don't even have to have it with you. Mm. You know, you can pull up a chair, sit down in the shade, and, you know, just pick up whatever speaks to you and draw. And there's no pressure. It doesn't have to look like something. There's no standard. You're not going to be graded on it or anything. And, you know, that's a good opportunity to kind of see if that kind of thing works for you, you know. Mm. But that's you know what we want to bring to the community is an opportunity to not just see art, buy art, but participate.
Right. If this is something where you, as you said, you have this creative itch you maybe didn't even realize you had.
Right.
I like that. I like
so
that.
So he'll be on the way to do some shading to really, oh, okay, this actually looks like something.
Mm.
So I think that's the other thing I would suggest is if the first try is not not good, but you want to try it again, please do, and find somebody else who speaks to your issue. But I've always been fascinated by glass, and when I was back when I was in tourism, so back in the mid-80s, late 80s, I started taking classes at the Kenosha Public Museum in stained glass, loved it, and then I started to hear it's so versatile, and
right.
I really enjoyed it. And again, another mentor, Julie Schilf, who's a fabulous potter and also a teacher. I've learned so much from her, not only how to work with clay, but it's mostly her eye on things. And anyway,
that's just
it
great.
It kind of is.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, of course, this event coming up on Sunday, as we've been talking about, is not just a big art sale, but it's really a celebration of what makes art such a beautiful, even indispensable part of all of our lives. And
some wonderful businesses and individuals.
Yep, and yep. I think that is absolutely true. Well, let's remind everybody one more time of the Racine Starving Artist Fair, sponsored by the Racine Art Guild. It's coming up this Sunday, and that in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon, which will allow you maybe the most convenient way to drop into the grounds of the Coven Center to experience all this. And of course, as we said, there will be live music and a raffle and opportunity to make art. There'll be plenty of food. Tomorrow's high 83 degrees, just a slight chance of rain in the morning. And then no rain in the forecast at all at this point for Saturday or Sunday. It will be, though, continued pretty warm, highs in the mid-80s. This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. WPR News.